Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, if you know anything about us right now on the show, we find a business story in anything and everything. And sometimes it's the most practical themes that sit right under our noses. Might be in between your hands. Something that you're sitting in right now. That you are actually physically operating. And by that, I mean your vehicle. So if you are driving right now, I want you to, just observe and take a look at your vehicle and reflect on the following question. Is your vehicle pre-owned or did you buy it pre-owned? And when you did, what particular strategies and techniques did you put in place to make sure that you prioritize value and reliability over the status of your vehicle? And how big a deal has affordability been for you as a South African when it comes to purchasing your vehicle, or even if you are in the prospects of changing your vehicle right now? Share your voice notes with us on 063-688-0959. We're more than happy to hear your thoughts. But of course, typical to this is that we also reach out to the experts and good friends that we have in the show and in the industry to update us on these themes. And for tonight, we are joined by the CEO of Auto Trader South Africa, George Minney, to give us some insight into their latest data regarding the used sales car buyers market, as they seem to be playing it smart. George, such a pleasure to speak to you again. It's been a while, but welcome back to Kaya Biz.
Such a pleasure to be on Kaya Biz. Love being on your show.
Excited to have you all the time, George. I might add a sidebar to an interesting experience I had on your platform the other day with my brother, and I saw a beautiful vehicle that always stuck out for me. And maybe that's a good positioning to actually start off the interview, right? But a 1989 BMW 3 Series, typically known as a Kusheshe, typical classical item, collector's item, going for a grand. And I thought to myself, my goodness.
I personally owned one back in the early 90s, and I sold it for next to nothing, and those cars are now worth a bomb.
Right? That tells us something, right? Find the right brand, find the right car, keep it in perfect condition, and there is a market for it at some point. And that's a thing. Go ahead.
You might do the following. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but last week we had a big event and we released our artificial intelligence features for consumers. So you might want to tag that onto the end, because you'll likely be the first radio station to ask about it.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. We'll follow up on that. I'm assuming this AI can help you evaluate your car, the condition.
It can. It literally creates a list and your own journey. So that the highlighted parts of the vehicles that you're interested in pop up before your eyes, and we're trying to create a unique experience for every consumer search, so that you don't experience the same search as anyone else. So it's unique to you. We watch your browsing behavior, we watch what you look at, and we present you vehicles based on your browsing behavior. So very personalized to you.
Got you. Oh, my goodness. George, now I'm going to hang on to that now for a moment, because I'm excited. This obviously means that you're extrapolating the right kind of data. You're trying to get the right consumer insights and make it very personable to the user. And I'm keen to understand, what kind of technology powers this, but also how much data do I as a consumer need to share with your platform to make sure that you get the AI correct? Zero.
Zero.
Tell us how.
So obviously we leave cookies on machines, and we follow that cookie around, and that cookie is unidentifiable. So we can't identify who the human is, unless you obviously log into the platform and then you give us your data, but that's by choice.
Got you. And I think this is important for us to know, because as you say, it does enhance the user experience and also improve the likelihood for us to actually find vehicles that we like. Which then takes us to the latest sales data, because it seems as though South Africans have been making very interesting purchases yet again when it comes to the pre-owned vehicle market. Firstly, I'm intrigued that this market has still been very sustainable, right? Interest rate cuts have come into play, affordability increasing slightly for South Africans. Are we seeing that we are a lot more optimistic and confident, essentially, about buying pre-owned vehicles so far in South Africa?
I think the buoyancy of the pre-owned market usually happens when an economy is under pressure. So we've been seeing that post the pandemic now for a couple of years. The thing that we are seeing that's different to post the pandemic is that we're in an area of price deflation. So used car prices are actually falling. Versus straight after the pandemic, used car prices actually rose and we entered a bit of a bubble. So used car price inflation, we're in a deflationary used car pricing environment. And in saying that, the outlook on the economy is not great. I mean, we all know the economy is under pressure and people are being more pragmatic. And buying smaller, more pragmatic vehicles, more fuel efficient vehicles, and we can see that in these numbers.
I'm assuming, you know, a drop in prices must be great in terms of volumes as well as increased sales. Is that also part of that 16.4% increase that we saw in September year on year?
Yes. So people going for secondhand vehicles, firstly, more pragmatic vehicles. So the Suzuki Swift, the Grand i10 Hyundai, those are all signals. And a little bit earlier on, going for the flashy, they're not spending outside of their budget, causing this is the interest rates.
Let's talk about the Chinese brands again. I know we do this in every conversation that we've had, and dealerships that have been opening up as well, contributing to the new flow of fresh stock and new vehicles. And subsequently, once that's in the system, then it does contribute to the pre-owned vehicle market. Just how, what's the percentage of the dominance of Chinese vehicle brands in the pre-owned market so far from what you have?
Well, pre-owned market for Chinese vehicles hasn't established itself yet.
Okay.
It's still very much a new market in terms of sales. There are Chinese vehicles trickling into the used car market, but it's not at scale yet. From a new vehicle point of view, we're already into the teens in terms of volumes of sales versus total sales, and that's up from about 3% 3 or 4 years ago. So they've gone up by 200 to 300% in terms of sales, and the reason is the price to value delta. The price to value delta for Chinese vehicles is incredibly good. They build a 80% of the quality of a European vehicle at 60% of the price, and there again you can see the pragmatism of the consumer. They're going for the pragmatic approach, and these Chinese vehicles are not bad. They're certainly not a three series or five series BMW or a C-Class Mercedes. They're not at that build quality, in my personal opinion, yet. But they will get there. But the delta is at 60% of the price. So 80% of the build quality, 60% of the price, and you have a perfect storm.
100%. Let's talk about those luxury brands, because I do see even in the pre-owned vehicle market, they are starting to lose ground, popularity, and of course, even based on affordability. What's the context there in terms of where they rank when it comes to vehicle sales or brands that prove to be dominant in the local market?
In terms of the Chinese vehicles, you're saying?
Sorry, talking now about the German or luxury brand vehicles. So the BMWs, Audis, Mercedes, Benz in the pre-owned market, do they still rank
on top in terms of search, but they don't rank on top in terms of conversion, because the Ford Ranger, Toyota Hilux, and those brands are ranking first in terms of sales. So you still got Ford, Toyota, VW Polo, Fortuner, Hyundai Grand i10, and Suzuki Swifts being in the top 10. However, the aspirational search is still there. We're still seeing the BMW rank and the C-Class Mercedes rank in the top 10 in terms of search. So consumers still want those vehicles. I just think the price point and the pragmatism is coming through in what they end up buying.
Let's talk price point and pragmatism, because you've mentioned this quite a number of times. And this maybe gives us a better understanding of inquiring the average price of vehicles that South Africans are willing to spend in the pre-owned market, and even getting an understanding of just the range of kilometers that they're willing to accept on a pre-owned vehicle. What are we seeing there, you know, based on the top three vehicle brands you mentioned? Ford Ranger, Toyota Hilux, Volkswagen Polo.
So on average, the average price of a vehicle that goes through Auto Trader's platform is around 416,000 rand. So that gives you a bit of a sense. So if we dig down into the pragmatic vehicles, the VW Polo, for instance, is 202,000 rand on average. That Grand i10 is 192, and the Suzuki Swift is about 205,000 rand. So you can see that the 416,000 rand on average is being held up by the higher priced vehicles. I'd say what consumers are willing to pay is probably in the region of anywhere between 200 and 300,000 rand in terms of the pragmatism. From a mileage point of view, to answer your question, the average mileage on the platform is anywhere between about 75 to 80,000 kilometers. Mm. So consumers are finding really good quality vehicles in the second-hand market.
Got you. George, this might be, I guess, off topic, but is there a correlation between the demand, the popularity, and the sustainability of vehicles in the pre-owned market in comparison to the availability of vehicle parts? And I ask this because post the pandemic, we recall that there was a slowdown in the supply chain. It was difficult to actually get parts and adequately service one's vehicle specific to some particular brands. Do we find that that's shifting and changing? And is there a direct correlation between the maintenance of the vehicle after sales as well as the demand, availability, and trends we witness in the pre-owned vehicle market?
Well, I think there's two parts to the answer to that question. The first is the pandemic caused a shortage in silicon chips. It wasn't necessarily other parts, although the other parts were there were downward pressure on the other parts as a result of supply chain issues, being able to get parts from one port to the other. But in terms of actual manufacturing, it was the silicon chips that were under pressure during the pandemic. That caused the entire slowdown. Some factories actually closed during the pandemic, and that's largely reversed itself now. From a parts point of view, that depends entirely which vehicle you decide to buy in South Africa. If it's a high volume vehicle, a very well supported vehicle in the dealer network, parts are not a problem. You know, so for instance, in the Chinese vehicle category, if you buy a GWM vehicle, that is a very well supported Chinese vehicle, and likely you're going to not suffer from a parts delay should you crash your vehicle or should you have an issue. If we look at the a Renault, for instance, a Renault, not a very popular vehicle in South Africa.
Yes.
There are Renault in South Africa, and if you have an issue, you might see a delay in parts for a Renault, for instance. So it really, really depends on the volumes being sold in South Africa and the support by the dealer network. The popularity of the Suzuki Swift means you don't wait for parts for a Suzuki Swift.
Mm. And you're quite right. I've been seeing that even with the vehicle hiring companies, they have added them significantly to their fleets. But even in terms of vehicle sales, they have picked up significantly. This might be an unfair question, but in terms of, you know, gender split, are we seeing more women come to the party, be keen to engage in your platform, you know, and even the introduction of this new AI opportunity? Does that make it easier for us then as ladies? You know, we don't always know the specs, the torque, the engine. I just want to start, go, get there safely, fill up my tank, and I'm fine. But are there any interesting shifts in trends we see from gender dynamics and even age?
So from a gender and a demographic point of view, the split is almost 50-50. It skews a little bit to males. Males are in the 50s and females are in the 40s. But you know, it's roughly 50-50. So we don't see a massive shift like 80-20 to males. I think it's a little bit of a myth nowadays, to be honest. From an AI point of view, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to surface what the real reason or basis on which consumers search for cars. Nobody searches for cars really based on the specs primarily. They search and buy cars based on your heart. You buy with an emotion. There's an emotional attachment to buying a car more than there is the specs. Yes, you'd like a fast car, maybe. Yes, you'd like a safe car, but primarily people go with their hearts, and that's what we're trying to surface. We're trying to unearth the real reason people are searching for a car, rather than the practical reasons people are searching for a car. Yes, there are still practical reasons, and we need to surface those. But if you really think about it, there's a real reason. For instance, if a lady gets pregnant, that is a real human reason for changing your car. You might want a bigger SUV. Now, there's no cars on Auto Trader that speak to a pregnant lady. And maybe that's a way in which we can introduce natural language search that allows someone to say, I'm pregnant, what cars suit me? And that would be the ultimate, I think, utopia.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Instead of, you know, the consumer actually knowing and understanding the kind of vehicle brand that they're looking for, we can actually type in what our needs and preferences are. So if you like off-roading and, you know, need a 4x4 when you're out in the mountains or the bush, then I can actually punch that in and I'd get some feedback. If I want a nice, you know, toy that will make me look cool, you know, in the streets of Sandton, then that's also something I can punch in. So is my understanding correct?
Yes, so that's where we're going. At the moment, we've just recently released a vehicle highlights. So as we follow you around the platform, we realize what you're interested in, and we realize what is really special about the vehicle that you're looking at, and we surface those in what we call Autotrader Intelligence. And later on, we will just layer on top of that all of these things that we're talking about.
Got you. If my last search is anything to go by, I think a few classic cars might pop up there, George. So that's me on my end. But thank you again for your time. Always refreshing speaking to you. And yes, congratulations on the new launch of the AI. So just for clarity, anyone who might join or search on your website now will be able to experience the Autotrader Intelligence, ATI, if I'm not mistaken. And that essentially is designed to make it easier for us to look for the vehicles that meet our needs.
Yes, so we've launched vehicle highlights, we've launched recommendation engine so far, and later we will surface more features that are driven by a large language or artificial intelligence.
100%. Thank you so much for your time this evening, George. Really appreciate the insight, and congratulations again on the new launch and insight into the data. Thank you.
As well.
That's George Minnie, the CEO of Autotrader South Africa, helping us unpack the latest data that they have regarding pre-owned vehicle sales trends in South Africa. One thing's for certain is that we are seeing South Africans see a slight uptick in terms of pre-owned vehicle sales in South Africa. It does show that we are playing it smart. We're looking for value. We're looking for vehicles we can trust, vehicles that are easy to maintain. And as I take a look at the list of the top 10 used vehicle models that have gained popularity in South Africa, Ford Ranger sits at number one. Interesting. Toyota Hilux follows through, so he tells us we love our buckies. And then we also love our hatchbacks. Volkswagen Polo at number three. Polo Vivo coming in at number four. And then the likes of Fortuner, Suzuki Swift, Toyota Cross also coming in into that market. And I think this is something also that's intriguing that we have seen about South Africans. If there's anything we do love, we love a bucky. A good bucky to get us by. Toyota might come for me and say that I'm actually stealing the line from their advertising campaign, because they say it's not a bucky, it's a Hilux. But of course, there's also the likes of Ford who have gained some prominence in the market. Coupled with that, South Africans do love affordable SUVs. Maybe it's the potholes. Maybe we like going off-road. Maybe we just want a car that feels big and safe in case of any danger or accidents. But hatchbacks that have grown in popularity of late are definitely Suzuki Swifts. If there's anything I've been noticing is that sometimes when you take a look at the car park or the fleet, the vehicle fleet of any vehicle hiring company, whether it's the likes of Avis or Europcar and a few others that exist in the ecosystem. It's intriguing when you actually take a look at the fleet that they have on board, because that helps you understand which manufacturers they're buying from, what maintenance they're actually managing to support, and also the influence that plays in the pre-owned vehicle segment in South Africa. So yes, next time you take a look at those vehicle car parks at the airport or anywhere else in South Africa, Hertz, Budget, Europcar, Six Car Hire, Sani, take a look at their vehicle fleet, and it will give you some intriguing insight into what cars we're buying. But let us know, do you like a bucky? A hatchback? Are you an SUV person? Or do you like your good old sedan? I don't know, but the trends are definitely shifting. Share your thoughts, your views, and your perspective. 063-688-0959. And more so, also share your thoughts on the various conversations we've had earlier on in the show tonight, specifically related to online gambling and the scourge it has in South Africa. We'll play a few of those for you when we come back from this ad break.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.